Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for hanging in there, ladies and gentlemen, staying tuned to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about a variety of things today, all of which focus on the perilous times in which we're living. Some of our callers have talked about the eschatological truth of what is taking place in the Middle East with the war that is now raging, perpetrated by the folks in Turkey against Syria, and the concern that some have, and I have also, about the Kurds and their position, whether or not we should have just arbitrarily, capriciously abandoned them. But I believe what is taking place, we're watching the hand of God. We're watching the hand of God with the prophetic clock of God ticking with what is going to take place based on Ezekiel 38 and 39. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, a variety of subjects that all amalgamated, brought together, focuses on the perilous times in which we're living in. That's one of them. It's the eschatological portion of the picture that we're looking at, which is taking place on a global basis. But it's also, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, some of the social, moral, ethical issues that cause us to see the perilous times are truly here. We're faced with them. We're just talking about, before the break, talking about the vaping and what is taking place. It's Satan's demonic tool that's being used to captivate the minds and the hearts of multitudes of the youth in America today, the young people. Most of the young kids that are doing that at school, it's cool for them to be puffing a e-cigarette, as it's called, and the vaping mechanism, which is nothing but a very simplified way for the marijuana industry, the marijuana producers, growers, and the marketers to get that in the hands of kids to destroy their lives. And one of the things that is problematic with that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that it's opening the door to every other hard drug use, fentanyl, heroin, cocaine, and all of the opioids, ladies and gentlemen. The doors are being wide open as a result of the vaping that's taking place. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. More people die each year as a result of vaping and marijuana and the opioids than any weapon has ever been used to kill. And yet we're not trying to do anything to make marijuana illegal. We're making it legal on every state level across America today. Our former Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is now the key leader as the lobbyist in the House and the Senate lobbying for the marijuana industry. And his statement was about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when he left the House as Speaker of the House, when he went to work with the lobbyist as a lobbyist for the marijuana industry. He said, we're going to make marijuana legal from the federal level for every state in America across the United States of America. And that's happening today. Ladies and gentlemen, another evident token, as I call it, evident indicator of the perilous days in which we're living, is Christian persecution. Christian persecution. At the very moment that Christians need to be outspoken, the Christian needs to be visible, the Christian, as Christians, we need to be vocal, we need to be willing to take a stand valiantly against these evils. It's the very time that Christian persecution is at the highest level in America that it's been since the first century church. We understand, ladies and gentlemen, that Christians are being persecuted on a global basis, and it's as a result of our stand for Jesus Christ. There is a hatred, there is an animus toward Christians today. Persecution and even prosecution simply because of Christian faith. Under the LGBTQ agenda, ladies and gentlemen, Christian bakers and Christian counselors and Christian florists and Christian wedding planners, those in Christian business are being persecuted and prosecuted as a result of their stand for spiritual things. If you don't believe that, just Google the name Jack Wheeler, Sweet Cakes Cake Shop in Colorado. Jack Wheeler's case had gone all the way to the Supreme Court because he simply refused to bake a cake for a sodomite couple. Ladies and gentlemen, you've not heard this on the fake news. You've not heard the fake news covering his, you may have heard a little bit on Fox News. Fake news has not touched on the fact that Jack Wheeler's case went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said that it was evident in the courts, the appeals courts, and the courts on the local level in the state of Colorado were obviously had animus toward Christian and Christian people. So they remanded it back. They didn't rule on it. Supreme Court didn't rule on it. They remanded it back to the appeals court in the state of Colorado. The state of Colorado has literally doubled down And they are furthering the prosecution rather than dropping the case or in any way going back to rehear it and modify the case. The Supreme Court sent it back to the appeals court and said, your decision is flawed. You need to go back. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Supreme Court should have ruled on it out and out, not leaving it in a position where the appeals court and the local courts in Colorado and other states could go back and rethink it. But ladies and gentlemen, his persecution and prosecution was as a result of his being a Christian and refused to bake a cake for the sodomite couple. But listen, it's not been publicly rendered in any of the news media as a result of that. But several Christians in differing states, and I've got an archive of those articles, went into some of the homosexually owned and operated bakeries and wanted cakes baked with some super special emphasis on Christ or on morals or even a verse of scripture, Leviticus 18:22, for example, where God forbids a man lying with a man as with a woman. And the sodomite cake company, baking companies, bakeries, refused to bake a cake like that for Christians. Did you see a Christian filing suit as a result of it? But ladies and gentlemen, it is an indication of the persecution to the level of prosecution of Christians as a result of our stand on moral ethical issues. In fact, locally, ladies and gentlemen, locally, we have a case that's just popped up. I don't know if you've been watching it on the news, but the drive-by media, we do have that in Jacksonville, Florida. The drive-by media, the fake media right here in our city, they've taken this as a battle to try to carry it out in the media. And we've got a man here in this city that's a bakery shop owner, a Christian, that's refused to bake a cake for a sodomite couple. And he sent them a text or an email or Twitter, whatever it was, on the social media, telling them that he could not bake the cake that they had ordered because he discovered what the order was. And he gave them a witness. He asked them to say yes to Jesus. Let me read you some of the major portions of this article. Don't want to belabor it, but I do want you to get the essence of it. It is serious, and I think it demands every Christian's attention today. Title of the article says, I pray that you choose to repent and serve Christ. Company declines request to take photos. It's not a bakery, it's a photo shop, to take photos of the same-sex wedding in Jacksonville, Florida. One couple's vision of a perfect wedding came to a halt when a Jacksonville wedding photographer refused to provide photos for the wedding because of their sexual orientation. Billy Thornton and Andrew Wells have been together for 10 years, this article says, and say that they've always dreamed about their wedding day. But when they reached out to Namesake Pictures to inquire about wedding photos, they were met with opposition. Quote, this felt like an attempt to ridicule and shame us while pointing out the fact that they were such horrific sinners, that we were such horrific sinners in need of prayer, according to Billy Thornton. And this is what the photographer said. Listen to his Christian position and yet how this is being maligned now and his being challenged and chided and persecuted. This is what this Christian photographer said in responding to the sodomite couple. Thank you for letting me know that you're a same-sex couple, the message says. As a born-again Christian, saved through Jesus Christ out of homosexuality, I have to say that I have convictions for engaging in a celebration that the Lord Himself condemns. When Jesus saves us from our sins, He gives us a new heart. We welcome a new creation in Him to worship Him and desire to obey Him, His commandments, not perfectly, but gradually. Though I know that I may not hear back from you, Billy, I pray that you choose to repent and serve Christ and surrender to His rightness and His righteous will for you and Andrew. He cares enough to use thumbtack, apparently that's the mechanism that He used to send it, to have me address this to you. I will be praying for you and for Andrew. That's the end of the quote of what the Christian photographer said. He says that if the company had, this is Thornton now, the sodomite couple, one of them, if the company had politely declined their business, he would have moved on. But Thornton says the way it was handled bothers him greatly. Quote, anything short of sweet just anything short and sweet. Just let me know that something you can't do. But the 3-page paragraph that was responded with was like condescending to us. Goes on to talk about the owner of the studio stated that he too had once been identified as a gay, but became a born-again Christian, and his belief prohibited him from taking pictures of a same-sex couple. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, he has received threatening telephone calls, negative reviews since responding to the couple's request, and he has denied, because he's quoted, has denied services to a, quote, gay couple. Ladies and gentlemen, since when do we lose our liberties and freedom of speech and freedom of religion and religious liberties just because a sodomite wants to be recognized wants to be embraced and celebrated for his homosexuality? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a time that could be very easily considered perilous times, dark, devastating, difficult days. And God's word says to the church that Christians, are, as we're being persecuted and prosecuted, we need to recognize that Jesus warned us of that. In fact, in John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's in the 18th verse of John 15. Then in the 20th verse, Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that as Christians, the world hates us. The world wants to persecute, and if the mechanism of the law allows it, to prosecute us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason I'm so adamantly opposed to what is called HRO, human rights ordinances. I call them the human reprobate ordinances that's being passed city by city, state by state across America. And it becomes a hate speech law. And the hate speech law being then applied through the human rights commissions that are operated by the embracing of the LGBTQ and the Planned Parenthood agendas in our cities that then want to enforce it and force Christians to bow and bend and not only to accept and to be tolerant with, but to embrace these sins. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2, the scripture is very, very clear. Yea, that is 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we must consider, ladies and gentlemen, that we are being persecuted, recognize that we are in the last of the last days, eschatologically speaking, and to realize that the rapture of the church could take place at any moment. And as we watch God's eschatological prophetic clock taking place in the Middle East, we also need to recognize that we're seeing it come to a crescendo on a global basis where Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted because of our faith. We must continue to stand up. We must continue to be salt and light. We must continue to be light in this decaying, dark, and difficult, devastating society in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing wickedness in high places, evil deeds and evil men, and attacks on the very foundation of our constitutional republic today. If you don't believe that, look at Adam Schiff and the socialist Marxist agenda being carried out, and they keep claiming on a public news forum that they have as part of the socialist Marxist agenda. The fake news is the water carrier carrying the bucket for them, for the socialist Marxist agenda. And they keep saying that we're concerned about our Constitution. In fact, one said that President Trump is shooting holes in our Constitution. Joe Biden said that President Trump is destroying our Constitution, and therefore he needs to be impeached. We have Nancy Pelosi and others that are talking about the impeachment as though it's to be very lightly taken. But, ladies and gentlemen, they do not have a shred of evidence that it meets the criteria constitutionally for the impeachment of a president. What they're doing is a fishing expedition to find some problematic things, to find someone that has said something in error, to find some incident where the president has refused to allow anyone in his cabinet or working out of the White House to come and speak. Therefore, they're going to scream obstruction of justice. They're going to scream cover-up, and they're going to use those things as the reason and the rationale for moving forward with an illegal impeachment. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the socialist Marxists that are in charge now in the House. They're moving at warp speed to try to get ahead of what the Department of Justice, William Barr, is doing in his investigation. Have you noticed that Attorney General Barr is personally traveling around the globe from Italy to the UK to Australia to Ukraine to investigate this personally? This tells me that he has no confidence in, none whatsoever, no confidence in the intelligence apparatus in Washington that's called the FBI, the CIA, the DNI, or any other group that's called the intelligence people in Washington. Why is that so? Because he already realizes that the coup that was attempted to overthrow a legitimately elected president, the coup came out of the intelligence apparatus in Washington. So the socialist Marxist Democrats are trying to in some way demean and get ahead of what ultimately within, I believe, the next 2 weeks to 30 days will expose what took place under the Obama administration through Comey and through Clapper and through Brennan and through the whole host of others at the behest of Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton out of the State Department to destroy President Donald J. Trump. And yet they wonder why. He sometimes gets anguished and angry in his voice and his response. I'd be bent out of shape myself. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about seeing the big picture that we're looking at today. And that big picture is that we're facing perilous times. That means dark, difficult, dangerous, devastating days in society. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm fearful that lest God intervenes and protects President Donald J. Trump, and continues to give him wisdom. I told my wife this morning, we're watching the demise of the foundation of our constitutional republic. It demands that Christians and conservatives nationally stand up, speak up, and be seen. As Christians, we must be salt and light. We cannot be frightened. We cannot be afraid. We cannot go in the closet. We cannot refuse to stand in the pulpits and preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Going back to this article by a national preacher written up in Decision magazine, he says, preaching is on the decline in a major way. Numerous churches, including several of the largest, most heavily marketed evangelical congregations, have relegated the pulpit ministry to second-class status. While preaching is still featured, it is short and superficial, rarely biblical in nature. The trend is toward topical messages focused on timely issues, human relationships, success, and self-help and recovery from addictions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a far cry from preaching and teaching the Word of God. And we're talking about today facing perilous days. And at any day, any moment, the rapture of the church could take place. We'd be snatched out of this old world. We are in perilous days. We are in the last days. And we're watching God's prophetic clock taking place from a Middle Eastern standpoint. We're watching God's prophetic clock take place where Jesus himself said, the world hated me first, it's going to hate you. The world persecuted me, it's going to persecute you. All who live a life for Christ shall be persecuted. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the wickedness in high places. We're talking about today, since President Trump has gone into office, since he was nominated, since he became the candidate, before he was ever sworn in, there was the socialist Marxist agenda to, quote, impeach President Trump. All of this, ladies and gentlemen, is a distraction. What is happening with Adam Schiff and others is a total distraction, from the continual attempts of the shadow government to take over the United States of America. And it's a laughter, it's a mockery at Christians. In fact, I don't know if you've heard the latest with Ralph Reed. Ralph Reed has a book that hasn't even been published yet. It's in the publishing stages. And he was going to call the book Render to God and to Trump. And Ralph Reed calls for the 2020 obedience to Trump, according to this writer, this particular article. In an upcoming book by the Faith and Freedom Coalition founder, will argue evangelicals have the duty to defend the incumbent GOP leader. This was dated October the 10th, 2019. one of Donald Trump's most prominent Christian supporters will argue in a book due to come out before 2020 general election that American evangelicals have a moral obligation to enthusiastically back the president. Further in the article, though critics charge that the evangelical Trump supporters have thoroughly compromised their witness so that they are not now disqualified to speak on any moral issue in the future. And the whole diatribe that's coming against Ralph Reed is because he's taking a stand and suggesting that Christians in America take a stand for President Donald Trump in his reelection. Now the mantra is that Christians have lost our moral ethical foundation and we have no authority on moral issues because we stand for President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, when we vote for a president, we do not vote for Jesus. We're not voting for Jesus. We're voting for a man, a flawed, failed, sinful man, whoever he may be, could be you, me, or President Donald Trump, the man that is imperfect to run our government and be a servant for God and government. Romans 13, 1 through 7 says that government is selected by, chosen by, instituted by God himself to be a servant to God. And the government is to prosecute evil and to protect good. It says very clearly in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Christians and Christian persecution and some of the things that the socialist Marxists are doing on every level, socially and politically and morally and ethically, in the courts to overthrow our system of government today and anything that's called spirituality. Here's an article that says the NFL captain wins appeal against a fine for a man of God headband. Listen carefully. In a turn of events, as surprising as it is fantastic, the NFL has utilized its last remaining shred of common sense to overturn a fine that has been levied against New Orleans Saints linebacker Davis. Davis has been fined for wearing a headband reading, "Man of God," end quote, during the team's week 3 in the games. The charge was that the headband violated the NFL rules against players displaying personal messages on game day. Davis also announced that he would sell the Man of God headband. He said, "Okay, if that's what you say, I'll just sell the headband." He said, "I'll just sell the Man of God headband and use the proceeds to go to a hospital in Jackson, Mississippi." Davis decided to take a negative and turn it into a positive. On Tuesday, that negative turned into an even bigger positive. The NFL decided to drop the fine after Davis appealed it. He wrote in an Instagram post, and that makes status matters even better. He decided to donate $7,017 that would have been used to pay for the fine, but to give to the hospital. So far, we've raised $30,000 from them. He had advertised the headband for sale to be auctioned, if you will. $30,000 had been raised. He said, "That means," this is Davis speaking, "that means y'all helped me turn $7,000 negative into almost a $40,000 positive, benefiting people who truly need it. Do y'all see how that worked out?" Davis wrote. he said, "I'm going to take a negative and make a positive out of it." But it was where he was being persecuted and prosecuted as a Christian. Here's an article that says religious freedom getting worse around the world. Christians remain the most persecuted group, according to the Pew Research. The study released reveals that Christians are the most harassed religious group in the world, facing persecution in over 143 countries. Over the last decade, government restrictions on religion, law, policies, and actions by state officials that restrict religious beliefs and practices increased markedly around the world and also in the United States. While America was the region with the fewest restrictions and hostilities, government limits on religious and religious activities still saw very significant increases in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the perilous times that have arrived. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place, where judges are being persecuted because of their Christian faith. Here's an article that says the secularist target judge for sharing Jesus with convict. You know the story. This came out Dateline October the 7th, just a few days ago. This Freedom From Religion Foundation is on the warpath after a Texas judge, Tammy Kemp, shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. Geiger, a 4-year veteran of the police department, had just been convicted of killing her neighbor. After sentencing, Judge Kemp, a devout Christian, left the courtroom, came back with a copy of the Bible. She presented the Bible to the convicted murderer. Quote, You have my Bible. I have three or four more at home. This is the one I use every day. This is your job for the next month. Read right here, John 3:16, and this is where you start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life, end quote, the judge told the former police officer. Quote, he has a purpose for your life. This will strengthen you. You just need a tiny mustard seed of faith. You start with this, she continued. And then the convicted killer and the judge embraced. It's not because I'm good. It's because I believe in Christ. I'm not so good. You haven't done so much as you think you have, and you can be forgiven. You did something bad in one moment of time. What you do now for the future matters. And it goes on to talk about how the separation of church and state advocates are now wanting the judge removed from the bench, wanting her to be fined and removed from her judicial responsibility simply because she exercised her faith. Ladies and gentlemen, where in the Constitution does it say that? Where in the Constitution does it say that regardless of your profession, regardless of your walk in life or your status in life as a Christian, that you must be muzzled, that you cannot speak freely? We do not lose our religious liberties and freedom of speech because of the position and the profession that we may live in, ladies and gentlemen. I think that it's time we speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen as Christians, say we will be silenced no longer. Here's an article that says the Washington State Supreme Court doubled down to punish the Christian florist despite what the Supreme Court ruled. On Thursday, the Washington State Supreme Court stood by its early ruling against Barnell Stutzman, owner of the Arlene's Florist. According to the article, U.S. Supreme Court had rejected Washington's previous ruling, ordering the state justices to review the decision against Stutzman and consider whether they violated her religious rights. And rather than reviewing it and saying we made a mistake, they now double down. Quote, we now hold that the answer to the Supreme Court is no, Washington Supreme Court just decided. The judiciary body that considered this case did not act with religious animus when they ruled that the florist and her corporation violated the Washington laws against discrimination by declining to sell wedding flowers to a gay couple, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this case has been going on now for almost 3 years, and they're trying to destroy this dear sweet lady. In fact, she came to Jacksonville just a year or so ago and gave testimony in relationship to what was happening. But here's the Washington State Supreme Court doubling down and saying, absolutely no, we're not going to allow her freedom of speech and her religious liberties to make a choice and decision of what she's going to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the day and time in which we're living in. And the scripture says in Luke 21:28, we need to look up, lift up our heads, because our redemption draweth nigh. We're in serious, dark, dangerous days, and as Christians, we need to be salt and light. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.